Welcome to Our View with your hosts, George and Lisa Hernandez. Each week, listen in as George and Lisa talk about their RV and travel adventures all around the world. George and Lisa travel in their 40-foot Class A Tiffin motor coach and tow their Jeep Wrangler, always looking for fun and adventure.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Our View. I'm Lisa Richard Hernandez.
And I'm George Hernandez.
And today we're going to tell you all about our excursions that we took on our Alaskan cruise and all the activities that we enjoyed while we were there. Last time we had so much cruise information to tell you about, we didn't even get a chance to tell you about all the cool things we actually did in Alaska. So I guess the best way to do this is to just kind of start by telling you, like, from day one to day seven, you know, what activities we did. We'll try to get through this all in one podcast a day, but if not, you know, we'll make it into two. So I think we told you all about, we arrived in Seattle. We used the Carnival to book our airlines. We got there at the last minute. This was a vaccinated cruise, so we had to upload our vaccination cards and proof of COVID, a negative COVID test, to a Verifly app that they have. So this is how they keep track of everybody having their things. They verify it ahead of time. So if you're planning a cruise, definitely, you know, download these apps, upload your information. You know, unfortunately, right now, you still have to be vaccinated to go on a lot of these cruises. Good thing was there was no mask mandate for us. So it was optional. If you wanted to wear a mask, you could. The staff did wear masks, but the cruisers were not required to wear masks in the public areas inside the ship.
No, and that was very nice. I'm glad we were fortunate enough to not have to wear masks. I can't imagine doing a cruise with wearing a mask the whole time.
Yeah, that would have taken away, and especially like photos and stuff like that would just been kind of a bummer to have the chin diaper on everywhere. When we get on our cruise ships, the first thing we always love to do is there's a place called Guy's Burger Joint, and it's Guy Fieri from the Food Network. If you watch him, he does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He actually has the best, I mean, I swear they're the best burgers. I look forward to getting these burgers. I plan my calories ahead of time because I'm like, I'm getting that burger from Guy's when we get on board. And so I think that's the first place we hit. We were hungry.
It's become our tradition. Like every cruise we've been on for a while now, we always go straight to Guy's, grab a burger, and find a place to sit and watch as we leave whatever port we're leaving from.
Yeah. So George loves to be on the top deck and see everything as we pull out. So after we had our Guy's burgers, which, just by the way, like if you get on the cruise ship early, there's plenty of food options. I believe that the buffet is open, and then the Guy's Burger Joint, you'll see everybody is just eating Guy's burgers pretty much all day, and the bars and everything are open. The only time the bars are closed is during the safety check, which we talked about in our last podcast. But they've really slowed down that muster station. I mean, made it so much simpler. You just have to go in and check in. So it used to be everybody had to get there together and nobody could have a cocktail for like almost 45 minutes.
Well, they shut everything down. They close the stores. They close all the bars. They just want to make sure that you're at the muster station.
Yeah. So now you just have to go check in at the muster station and then they close the actual bar, but you can still have your drink. So that's cool.
Or like we like to call the mustard station.
That's right. So we got our Guy's burger, and then we headed up to the Serenity deck, which is the adult only section of the pool of the cruise ship. You have to be 21 or over to get in there. Now on this Alaska cruise, there's not a lot of kids. Might have been because it was, you know, May and school was still in most places, but generally speaking, there wasn't a lot of children. So it's still nice to have that adult Serenity deck in the back. There is a bar back there, a really great panoramic view because you've got the whole back of the ship. So pulling out of port in Seattle was very beautiful. You could see the whole bay of the
whole bay. You could see the Sky Needle. You could see both sides of, I guess, one side of Seattle, and then the other side is whatever the name of that town is. But it's just a beautiful scene as you're
pulling out.
And we lucked out that the weather was absolutely gorgeous. It was a sunny day. There was no fog. It was just perfect to be back there and enjoy being back on a cruise ship.
Yes, for sure. That first night and the second whole day was a fun day at sea. So a fun day at sea was definitely different on this Alaska cruise than it would be on, say, for example, a Caribbean cruise where we're going somewhere tropical and warm. And normally when we're on a Caribbean cruise, we're like, yay, we're going to do a fun day at sea. We're going to hang out by the pool and drink frozen cocktails and listen to the music. And it's just kind of chilling out. Well, there was a cover. We were on Carnival Splendor. And so the main pool area did have a retractable cover, which they closed. So it was warm enough, I guess, if you want to say, to swim in the pool, but
it was warm enough for
the kids.
Plenty of people, but
yeah, mostly kids.
Yeah, mostly kids. And every time I saw a kid get out of the pool, they were just shivering, and it just did not look pleasant at all.
Yeah, so you know, we kind of overdid it the first night. We went to our Alchemy Bar, which is one of our favorite bars. I think we've talked about before, with the craft cocktails, and had some great bartenders there that we got to know. And I think we did a comedy show that night.
No, that night we went to the nightclub.
Okay. So they
the
have
red carpet nightclub.
Yeah. So they had, and then we must have done the piano bar that night too. Because we did the piano bar, then we went to the nightclub. So the piano bar was really fun. That's like one of those, we pay the guy, you know, give him, well, you don't pay him. You give him like, you can, he'll take song suggestions. And this guy, I mean, he could play anything.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the menu of songs was just massive.
One of my favorite things that he did was the Piano Man. You know, that's the most requested song for, you know, piano guys, piano bars to sing. And so it was kind of funny because he made everybody be a character. So like a man at the, there's an old man sitting next to me. So there's like the old man, and there's a waitress who's practicing politics, and the businessman slowly gets stoned. And so when it got to that point on the song, like whoever the person was had to act out their thing. So you made it really fun and interactive, and we had a great time there. We met some more like good friends at that. And then it was like rolled on over to the nightclub. I think it was open to like literally like 4 a.m.
I don't know, but I think we closed that too, and that was the first night. So needless to say, the second day I was pretty hungover. But you know, we had traveled the whole day. We left our house at 4 a.m. and the first day is always rough, and we cut loose. We were just happy to be able to start relaxing, and we did, and we relaxed and we enjoyed the ship, and we got day one knocked out. And then it was nice that day two was a sea day, so we didn't have to worry about, oh man, now we're hungover and we're going to go on an excursion.
So day two was our fun day at sea, and day three was, we still were on the ship, but it was Tracy Arm Fjord, and this is where the balcony room really comes into play, because you're just going through this very scenic, like where all the glaciers are and these beautiful mountains, and the water is beautiful. We actually enjoyed our balcony for quite some time that day. And then we decided we kind of wanted to get more of a 360 view of what was going on. So we went up to the upper deck to take photos, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah. And the scenery was incredible. And I'm glad we went up to the upper deck, because we were literally running from one side of the ship to take pictures, and then we would run to the other side to take pictures, because there were waterfalls everywhere. Somebody would yell, oh my God, look at the size of this iceberg. So you'd run over there and take pictures. And if we were in our balcony, you only get one side of the ship.
Which is okay, I guess, if you didn't, I didn't realize, because the ship turns around and comes back out. So one way you get one view and one way you get the other view.
Right.
We didn't know that at the time, so we were like, we don't want to miss anything. We better run upstairs.
But it was still fun being up there with people and you know, hearing the ooh and ahs. And
yeah,
it was so beautiful. It's so hard to describe that. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and I will say, for like the day before on our fun day at sea, it was like rainy, cold ocean, nothing to see here, people, all day. You were indoors all day.
And the water was rough.
Yeah, it was.
Remember, it was really rough.
It was pretty rough. So, you know, people do get seasick on cruise ships. So if you have any
inclination
that you may want to bring motion sickness medicine, Dramamine, or whatever it is that you use, so you don't get seasick. So Tracy Arm Fjord, we were supposed to, the ship was supposed to go take you down to see this iceberg. Well, we got there and I was like, man, that's a lot of ice in the water. Like, how are we going to get through that? I wondered if we had one of those ships that had like the iceberg crusher on the front. But then when the cruise ship stopped and said, we can't go any farther because it'd be too dangerous, I was like, oh, apparently we don't have one of those ice crusher things. So cruise director, you know, his name is Andy. They come on, you know, the speaker and kind of tell you where we're going and what's happening that day. And he said, once we get into Tracy's Arm, because of sound pollution, they can't use the outside speakers anymore. So when we stopped, you know, he sent the message out, I guess it must have only been on the inside, but it said, hey, we can't go any further, but there is two smaller boats that are excursions that are still have room on them if you want to do it, to go see the iceberg up close.
Not iceberg, Sawyer Glacier.
Oh, sorry, glacier. Yes, the glaciers. And so we were like, God, we're only gonna, you know, we're here, we gotta see the glacier. So we ran downstairs and we did get on, and they were about $200 a person, like $189 or something. But I'm really glad we chose to do that at the last minute.
Yeah, I'm super glad we did it. I would have been disappointed to go all that way and not have seen it.
It was one of the coolest parts, I think.
Yeah, and they got us really close, as close as they could get. I think she said we were within a quarter mile of the glacier.
It was either a quarter mile or half mile. There's some sort of
conservation things
where you can't get a certain... But we could see, we got to see seals. There was like some sea lions.
A lot of icebergs.
I mean, I'm not, okay, so I got to tell you this. So the boat that we were on, there was two of them, and it was sort of like a catamaran where it had like, you know, two pontoons at the bottom, but it was enclosed. So you'd be inside and there's windows, and then you could also go outside and see, and then like an upper deck to view. But when we were cruising along, they would ask you to like kind of sit down. And so you can see the captain of our boat was like this young girl. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe in her like, seemed like she was in like her 20s or something. And I'm looking out there at the water and it is just covered in icebergs. Like you could practically probably walk from iceberg to iceberg if you wanted to jump. Yeah, I mean,
there was no clear path.
And I was like, how in the world is she going to get through this? And I mean, she was a badass. I was like, I was just more impressed by watching her drive that boat. She was like just getting through it. I mean, I don't even know how she did it. It was so cool. And I mean, we were standing on the back and there was these like gigantic icebergs coming up from like the middle of the boat. I'm like, how did we get over this?
It was really pretty impressive because some of them, she just, being a catamaran, she literally just ran right over them, put them in the middle. And you could hear it banging up against the side, which is, you know, a little scary because we've all seen Titanic.
Right, exactly.
But she just forged through and it was awesome. That part of it was really cool.
I think that was a 3-hour excursion.
Yes, it was all of 3 hours. And again, we got really close to Sawyer Glacier.
Yeah, what happened is the ship stopped where we got on to that boat, and then we went and saw the glacier. And then the ship turned around and kind of like started heading back out of the fjord. And then our little boats came and met back up with the ship, and we got onto the ship, you know, right in the water. So it wasn't like we were on land and got on another boat. Like those boats just like pulled up and we jumped out onto the boat. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. One of the things they did that I'm a nerd, but they actually scooped out a piece of ice from the water, and it was the clearest ice I've ever seen in my life. Not one air bubble in it. It was super clear. We got to hold it. Everybody took pictures with it. I thought it was really cool.
It looked like a piece of glass. I mean, I was so shocked by how blue. It's this like almost like a turquoise blue that these icebergs are. They're, I guess, because the more pure the water is, the better the light reflects or something.
Well, the guy said the water's so pure, that's one thing. The second thing is the ice soaks in all the colors of the rainbow, but only reflects the blue. That's why it's so blue.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. And on board, they were selling margaritas that were supposed to be made with the ice, the glacier ice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were
glacier
blue.
Ice margaritas.
Yeah, so you could get drinks on there. So, like, we loved that excursion, and we're so glad we did it. But I cannot, like, speak to, okay, if there weren't glacier, if the ship was able to get down there, would it have been that much better? Would it have been worth $400? I don't know. But in our situation, I was really glad we did it. Because you got to get a lot closer, and you know, just the experience of even seeing, you don't realize how big the ship is and how big the icebergs are until you actually get down to the water level, you know.
Yes, the icebergs really got big when we got on the smaller boat.
Yeah, yeah. So just the perspective of it and the photos were really, really good.
Yeah, and the excursion, The girl said that we got way closer than the cruise ship would have been allowed to get to. So I'm glad we did it again. I'm sure it would have been beautiful from the cruise ship, but to get that much closer was well worth the $189.99 that they charged us per person.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So that night, I believe, was our first night at the steakhouse?
Yes, that was our first night at, what was it called, Fahrenheit 555?
Yes. So Carnival, I think they've done a great job at this. There's all kinds of restaurants and everything to eat that's free and included with your all-inclusive package. But if you really want more of an upscale experience, a better culinary experience, they have opportunities for you to buy things and pay a little bit extra to do it. So I believe the steakhouse was $40 a person or
$80? It was between $40 and $50 per person, and it was a really, really nice steakhouse. I enjoyed the food tremendously.
Yeah, so you had to make a reservation for that, and like I said, they charged you extra for it. And I think we made the reservation for this one before we left, which is you can do that on your cruise planner ahead of time, and because it does get booked up because there's limited seating, but it was good food. I had the surf and turf. A filet and lobster tail and a mushroom risotto and a shrimp cocktail. And I think you had the same. Everything was very tasty. And you could have like whatever you wanted off the menu. Like you could, I mean, I think I had like a soup, a salad, an appetizer, the steak. And then we had this really cool dessert that they did. What was it called?
It was called Art at Your Table, which was really cool. And if you do the cruise, I highly recommend it. It was really nice.
It was the art of the table was probably more, the presentation was really cool than the actual flavor of it. I mean, the dessert part of it was, don't get me wrong, it was good, but it was just more like of an experience for him. They bring this whole board out and they've got like these different chocolates and mousse, and he sort of decorates this whole board with all these things and places it on there. I think I did a TikTok of it.
Yeah, it's on my video TikTok. And it's one of the chefs, obviously the dessert chef. But he comes out and he explains what everything is, raspberry puree, and then all of a sudden he'll start drawing with that, and then a mango puree, and he does by the end of his presentation, you got this edible piece of art on your table, and it was a cool experience, and I thought everything on there was really tasty and yummy.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, we liked Fahrenheit 555 so much that we went two times over the course of 7 days while we were there. So,
well, the second one we didn't plan, and we got comped from the casino. So, and it was the very next day. So we were like, okay, well, we're not going to pass up a free meal.
We had filet and lobster 2 days in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. We just swapped out our appetizers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I definitely recommend that. One thing I'm a little bit disappointed in ourselves for doing is we never really made it to our table for dining in the dining room. But we did talk to a lot of the other guests, and they said, you really aren't missing anything. It wasn't really that great. So we're from Charleston, South Carolina, and we're admittedly foodies, and we are spoiled by fabulous restaurants where we live. And it's hard to compare cruise ship food. And I feel like it's all relative. So some people might have thought that was amazing food, where other people were like, no, this isn't that good. So just keep that in mind. And managing your expectations, I think, are the most important thing. If you go to the dining room and you're not happy with it, try one of the things that you pay extra for, you know, like the steakhouse, and see if if that satisfies you.
Or try one of the many other free options.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean,
if you walk off of a cruise ship and you tell me that you went hungry, we got a problem. You're not going to go hungry.
There's definitely people that were not going hungry. I can tell you that.
One thing that somebody brought up to me and I thought was maybe right on. He said that, you know, we got to keep in mind that these cruise ships have been down for 2 years, and this particular cruise that we went on was just the second cruise since they were down for COVID. So they're just kind of like, I guess, stretching their legs again, and they're all a little rusty. They haven't been done anything for 2 years. So he was like, you know, just give them a little credit. I know
the service was excellent.
Our service is always fantastic.
Excellent. Everywhere we went, we'd never waited for anything. I felt like they were all really working hard for us, and everyone was super thankful. That's one thing also I'd like to make note of, is like, they were so thankful to be back and cruising and making money again and working. Even when we were in Alaska, they were like, we're just so glad to have you guys back.
Well, they said they struggled for 2 years when there were no cruise ships. I mean, there's really no other industry. They've got fishing, obviously, during the winter months, but their summer depends on tourism and cruise ships, and they had nothing.
Yeah, it was really hard on the Alaskan people.
Yeah, so we're glad to be back, and we're glad that they're glad that we're back. Did I say that right?
Yeah. So that was pretty much it for Tracy Yarnfjord. We had a great day. And our next day, we did Icy Strait Point, which was, I feel like that place was pretty much just built for cruise ships. They had a nice thing, and it was a big part of their town. And there we did, the excursion we did there was a whale watching and wildlife bear watching excursion. It was pretty much an all day thing. We had to be there early morning.
But they broke it down into two parts, which was nice.
Yeah. So right off the ship, they have like a walkway over to it. You'll kind of notice if you go on like cruises where the cruise ships come, there's always like a little kind of touristy area right off the ship that you can watch and get, you know, souvenirs and a few little restaurants and stuff like that where you can go. So but our boat to go whale watching was right literally on the dock right there, and they had the little signs like usual. So we got down there, I think it was like 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, pretty early.
Super early.
But don't forget, with the time change for East Coast people, it wasn't too bad getting up that early. But we did have to wake up early, and then we did whale watching for like, I think, 2 hours.
Yeah, we were out there for quite a while, and we saw a ton of whales. It's so cool. We got to see them breaching. They were feeding, so they created this air bubble net, and then they'd come up through the middle, and we saw them coming up and eating the fish or whatever they were eating. It was really cool.
Yeah, they said they chased the halibut. And you could kind of see like a whole bunch of birds, like, because the birds would sort of get the whatever's left in the waters. And
yeah, that was the warning
and
signal.
That was kind of like how they found it. And it was pretty cool because all the whale watching boat captains kind of keep in touch, I think, via radio, and sort of help each other out to where they are, so that they can, because they do guarantee that you'll see a whale on those. So they've got to find them.
I mean, it's pretty simple when you could even see whales from the cruise ship, so they're not going to lose their money.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But we really enjoyed that excursion.
We got really close to the whales, closer than any whale watching thing that we've ever done.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, that's all based on luck. You know, you could be like, wow, it comes up right next to the ship, but you just, you know, your boat, it's really hard to tell. One thing about these boats that they take you out on that I did like, and as far as when you're preparing for what you want to wear, they do have insides. You know, there's heat on the inside. They have big windows. You can look out and take pictures. And then they would slow down, and then you could go outside. So there was definitely a place to keep warm. So if you're concerned about being on the boat all day and freezing to death, there is, you know, inside.
Yeah, I mean, you really didn't even have to go outside if you didn't want to.
Right.
It was the big giant windows. And they had that upper deck.
Yes. And I think that's the first time you really got to use your binoculars with a photo camera thing, that really realized that was a good purchase.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got really up close and personal with the sea lions.
Yeah.
That was really close.
Yeah, you could really, you took some great pictures with
and
that.
And we did see, was that? No, we saw our first bear was ice.
No, that was it. We saw it was on the shoreline.
No, it was on
yes.
the, nope.
When we saw the whales on the boat, there was a bear on the shoreline and we all stopped to see it and we went to go get it and we took pictures of that. And then we went back and did bear watching after.
I know, but listen to me. Your badass captain girl had the girl sitting next to her who spotted the first bear and turned around and took us there.
Oh, that was at Tracy Armfjord.
Thank you. I like proving that I'm right.
Well, that was a different day.
But it wasn't the first day. Okay, okay, let's move on.
Okay, so we saw the first bear at Tracy Armfjord when we stopped to look at a waterfall, and that was cool. It was beautiful. There's different kinds of bears, we learned, on different places. Brown bears and black bears, I guess they don't inhabit the same places together. I believe the brown bears are the ones that are, they get, a grizzly bear is a form of brown bear. So most of the bears we saw were maybe smaller, but I guess it's sort of early in the season because they just came out of hibernation.
Yeah, they had all just, all the males come out of hibernation first and feed, and then the females come out with the cubs. And that's when it gets dangerous.
Yes. And so the second half of the day, we got we went back to the docks, and then we walked over the bridge to where they pick you up for the other excursions. And we got into a van where Paige was our tour guide.
Peggy was our tour guide.
I loved hearing all the stories of the different tour for, on all the different excursions that we went, like where people were from and how they got to Alaska. And she just loved to travel. She was a theater teacher for like 25 years or something like that. And she also had her CDL license. And so she was just there for the summer being a tour guide really loved it.
And it really opened up our eyes because it was so cool because she's like, yeah, I'm a seasonal worker. I work for Carnival. And I just give tours. And next year I'm going to, like next year she was going to Chile or something,
yeah.
A different destination. And she just moves around and she's seeing the world and just such a cool person. Just
yeah.
So they were all laid back and cool.
Yeah. So then we got to where we were going to do our basically wilderness walk, bear watching type of a tour part. And so I guess I just didn't really, because I've never been to Alaska, I didn't realize how much like the Indian culture was there. So it's the Tlingit clan of American Indian, I guess, I don't know, do they call them indigenous people or American Indians, or what's the proper term for?
I think indigenous. They were the Tlingit tribe.
The Tlingit tribe, and they had been around longer than the pyramids. So. Yeah. I can't remember what year or whatever that was, but for a very, very, very long time, they've lived off of that land there. And so they had George. I remember his name was George because that's your name, George.
Yep.
And when she was preparing us to meet with George, she's like, he's kind of like Willie Nelson or whatever of the Alaska's version of Willie Nelson. And we get there and he's got like long hair and a bandana and he's, you know, weathered looking man. He carries a walking stick and a gun, like a shotgun.
Yeah, he was our bear security.
Because that was bear security. And his family had grown generations in that area. And when they made it into a national park, I guess, where they were, they made their family move.
Yeah,
so
they got displaced.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, so just very interesting, the culture there. And he addressed us in the Tlingit language and said, hello, my name is George, and told us a little bit about that. And then he translated that for us, which I thought was really cool. And then you walk through the forest on kind of a path, like it was like a boardwalk almost.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy terrain. It wasn't anything that, you know.
Well, they did it for two reasons. One, to make it easy for the tourists so they don't get hurt. And two, because they don't want anybody walking on this marshy, swampy-looking forest, which was really weird because it looked solid. But at one point in the walk, our tour guide, Peggy, stopped and she said, look, this is why we don't want you walking on this terrain. And she had a stick in this little puddle of water.
It looked like probably like maybe 2 feet of a circle of right, puddle of water. Like it looked right. like a little tiny puddle.
Little tiny puddle that, you know, kids usually jump in and splash. Well, she pulled out this stick and it was at least 6 foot tall, the stick, and it was buried almost the whole six feet of. So that's how deep that one puddle was. And she said there's some that they can't even touch the bottom. So
and she said, and that's why you won't find like mammals there. Like they weren't like big mammals would fall into the.
Yeah, there's no bears or elk or anything in that area.
So then I guess the bear quote viewing areas were on like a river, right?
Right. And the bears were on the other side, which was more solid land. It was an island.
Yeah, and that it was really beautiful. Very difficult to find the bears, which we did see a couple bears, which is cool. And you know, they don't guarantee that you're going to see a bear because they're. I mean, it is what it is. That's it's nature. It's a real wildlife, so you can't guarantee that.
Right, these guys are not trained.
Yeah,
they're not doing tricks.
Yeah, that's not like the zoo where you're like, there's the bears. So it was cool that we got to see a couple bears. Pretty good. And apparently, when the salmon run. The bears are just all along the edge of this river. And she said you can just almost see the salmon in the water. There's so many salmon. They swim upstream. And she said the bears are literally like on the side of the river just plucking out the salmon, it's eating them.
Bear buffet.
Yeah. So I really think that it will depend when you visit Alaska on how great that excursion is. I would say everyone may have a different experience based on the salmon season.
And if that's what you want to see, there's definitely enough information out there to plan your trip accordingly to the time that the salmon run.
Yeah.
So if that's something you want to see, do your research. We just wanted to go see Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because she said that when we got there, we were there May 10th through the 17th. And she said she'd only been there for about 3 weeks. And the same with the person that we did the whale watching with. And they said in the mountains were, when we were there, were basically, I would say, you know, if the mountain was like half snow covered, right? Like snow caps almost. And they said when they came there 3 weeks ago, it was, you couldn't see any green at all. It was all white mountains of snow. So it does melt really fast. So I'm wondering, you know, if you go in July and August, if you just get tiny little ice caps on the top or it would be more green. I don't know that.
Yes.
We're describing is from May 10th through the 17th.
I did ask one of the tour guides and he said that it's very rare for the mountain to be completely barren of ice.
Okay.
So most of the time you will have some kind of ice peak.
Okay. So... But just interesting, you know, so we might tell you all these things and you'll be like, there was no snow or it wasn't like that. I think the landscape, the way it appears changes, you know, and I think maybe I would like to try different times of the year if I was going to do another Alaskan cruise, just to kind of see the difference, you know, maybe later in the summer or something like that.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to go when they actually have like the sled dogs. That was not an option for us because, well, there was one, but you went on like dry land, not snow.
So. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't do that because we talked to somebody who said they did it one time and they thought they were going to be on
the snow and
wheels on the dog sled. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just on the side note, but. So we enjoyed that excursion. And then when we got back, we had we had
quite a bit of time.
Yeah, we had a couple hours. So we went to and got some crab legs, right?
Yeah, they had a nice little restaurant there. They had some crab legs.
Overpriced crab legs.
Yeah, I mean, and these were...
They were just regular snow crab legs.
Yeah, I called them the Costco crab legs.
I mean, we were 100% in a tourist trap. So, yeah.
Lisa kind of alluded to it. The Icy Strait, you can tell that it was completely built for the cruise ships. The cruise ship terminal is brand new. All the buildings are brand new. They've got a gondola ride that takes you up to the very top of the mountain. That was beautiful. And, I mean, you can still see all the fresh-cut trees to put the gondola in. And then they also have a zip line, which was really cool. We didn't do it, but we talked to some people.
Our friends that did it loved it.
And they said it was incredible.
It was a really high zip line.
Yeah, it was
like a mile.
It was over a mile long, and I mean, it was really, really high. Our friends said it was pretty impressive and really cool, and she's glad she did it. But it's all just catered to
tour
for people to get off the cruise ships and spend more money. But at least that goes towards the community and the neighboring town, in the sense that a lot of people work there and make money from that during the off season. So
we went to the one that was just crab legs, and literally they had such a limited menu. It was literally just crab legs, and I think they had like a reindeer chili or something was the only other thing. So we did get that. Had a couple drinks, and I think our bill was like $80 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we can probably get all you can eat crab legs for $40 a person. It is in South Carolina.
I mean,
but
it's just to be able to say you sat in the
when in Rome kind of a thing. And then we at the last minute hopped on that gondola. It said free rides today. Well, it only took us halfway up there, and we got to the next place, and we're like, oh, can we go on this one too? And they're like, no, it's $50 a person. And it was about like 5 o'clock. And our ship was leaving at like 6 or something like that. And we went in to pay for it, and the lady was like, our computer's down, so just take these. And we ended up fortunately getting a free ride on the gondola, which was pretty cool. So it was a great view from up there.
Yeah, it was one of the steepest gondolas I've ever been on. These mountains in Alaska are super sheer.
Straight
steep,
up and down.
Steep, steep, steep. I don't even know how trees grow on them. It's amazing. But this gondola just kind of went like 100 yards straight, and then it seemed like
straight
a
up.
Mile straight up.
Yeah.
It was beautiful scenery. And
I would have to say, if you were going to do that gondola in Icy Strait Point, I would wait to buy the tickets to the day I got there, because the what you can see can change. So, I mean, we were lucky that we were there on a day that it wasn't rainy and it was pretty clear. But if it was a cloudy, overcast, rainy day,
you're not going to see anything.
You're not going to see that much, and you'd be spending, you know, $50 a per. Was it 50 or was it more?
Yeah, it was $50 a person.
Yeah, that was a lot of money.
And if you're going to do that, and
it's because it's only 17 minute ride.
Right. So here's a pro tip. If you're going to go to Icy Strait and you're going to do the zip line, because then the gondola ride is included.
Oh, is that how they get the
Yeah. So that gondola takes you up to the zip line. So if you're just going to do the roundabout trip, then it's $50. If you pay for the
I think the zip line was like $169.
It that much?
Yes.
I thought it was, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it was still cool. I mean, and everybody that did it
loved it.
Like they wanted to just go again. They want to go again. That was pretty cool. There was another place that you could get oysters, and it looked like you get crab legs there too. And they had like little fireplaces. I might try that if I was there next time.
And they had a couple of bars. There was one at the restaurant where we ate, and then there was one right at the main terminal area. They had a little bar area that was really cool. And that was the first place that I actually tasted Alaskan beer, which was very good.
Yeah, we met some people that like their prime thing was just to go to like all the breweries. I think they were doing like brewery tours the whole time.
Yeah, of Alaska.
Alaskan breweries are really into like microbrews.
That was their
thing. Yep. But, you know, it's a tourist place, so it's made for tourist traps, and that's what it was. But, you know, as long as you're aware of that, and you can always get food for free on the cruise ship and go back up to the ship and come back out.
And you could also, from Icy Strait, you could walk into the town, which a lot of people did. I think it was called Hona.
Yeah.
Cute little town, little fishing village, nothing major to see, but just, you know, if you want to wander around and go.
I thought one of the most interesting things about that town was
when, school.
Yeah, when she went by the school. So I'm like, it goes from kindergarten to 12th grade. And I think there was like a total of
The graduating class was five.
Five kids. Like, so the senior year was three girls and two boys.
And like she said, prom's going to be awkward.
Yeah. But I guess she said that they like all the different islands around there get together, and they fly their kids or come by boat or whatever, and they all get together for one big prom. But these little tiny communities, it's just, you know, it's, I think, I can't even remember how many people live in Icy Strait Point. Like, I think it's only like 8,000 people or something. It's very, very small.
Yes, because we were comparing it. Our kids' high school is 4,000 students.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, our kids' high school is half the population of this village, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
With that being said, she also told us that everything there is super expensive, even for the locals, because everything has to be either shipped in or flown in. And she said for her, it was cheaper to fly in her groceries than it was to go to the local grocery store. Because
milk was $9 a gallon.
Yeah.
At their little grocery store that they had there. And they had their groceries flown in from Juneau, which I believe is like has a Costco. And it's like one of the largest cities in the area people get supplies from.
Was it a Costco or a Walmart? Maybe both. Yeah. I know they definitely have Juneau a Walmart.
Juneau was the big place.
So after doing our excursions and eating a little crab, we went back on the ship. And the previous night, the casino host came up to me and introduced herself and wanted to make sure that I was having a great time. And I told her I was. And she told us that she was going to comp us dinner at Fahrenheit 555. And if we were interested, that she had an 8 o'clock opening on day 4 of our trip.
The same day.
The same day. And, you know, I'm not going to pass up a free meal. So, of course, we took it. And I said to Lisa, the menu was so vast that it doesn't matter. We could just try different food, which we did. And
yeah, you got the like cowboy steak and I got the surf and turf again. I was like, I mean, you got to have the filet and lobster. I mean, you can't really get tired of that. Although I did eat it 2 nights in a row. I guess I didn't want it again. But I had some different appetizers we had a different dessert. It was like a chocolate ball that was really good.
Yeah, I had the French onion soup for an appetizer that was delicious. And we had free drinks on the casino again. I think I had some wine that night. And food was just so good.
It was so interesting because I was really tired after our excursions. Like all that fresh air and being outside all day and... It was, I don't know, it just kind of makes you that like good tired. And so we got our bellies full. And I think we went to the casino, I think, for a little while after.
No.
Did we go to the comedy show?
We went to the comedy show and I don't want to bash anybody, so I'm not going to say any names. But this guy was off that night and he started out a little funny and then just kind of it's almost like he lost his routine.
Yeah, he got a lot of hecklers.
Yeah, and then the crowd started turning on him and I felt bad for him and it was just not a and we love going to the comedy club.
Yeah, I would say 9 out of 10 times we end up just going to the comedy show and we don't go to the regular. They also have had like some musical different things. There's a lot of different entertainment options that you can do every night. And as a matter of fact, it's not even like they had they have a friend of Bill W. meetings on days and they had LGBT,
everything.
Like, yeah. I mean, you could all different groups of people, singles thing. They had
a military appreciation night. They had a night for teens. They, like Lisa said,
they
LGBT,
really
LGBT.
I mean, you should be able to plug into some sort of activity almost every night. If it's karaoke or a lot of trivia nights, a lot of bingo, trivia. They did a lot of things.
Again, it's not called the fun ship for no reason.
Yeah. Yep. And
and that was kind of the end of our night. We went to the comedy club and, you know, had a couple more cocktails and then.
Which I believe we had another early morning excursion the next day, which day are we on then?
So we're going to move on to day number 5, Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, wait, that's our best day.
And with that teaser, we conclude part 2 of our Alaska cruise. Please join us next week for the final part of our adventures.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Our View. Don't forget to drop us a line at rviewpodcast.com. That's the letter R, viewpodcast.com. And like, subscribe, and follow us so you don't miss out on our next adventure.